To welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery, welcome. And I'd like to commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. And I also need to remind everyone that under Council's Model Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting is being audio recorded. So all present should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements, and the recordings will be posted publicly on Council's website once the minutes are released. Could I also ask that if you have a mobile phone with you, could you turn it to silent, please? And I'll now call for apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a couple of apologies. Councillor Troy Vance and Councillor James Angel are both unwell. And the Director of Engineering Services, David Maloney, is an apology. He's replaced tonight by Keith Williams.
Thank you. I'd now like to invite the Reverend Leslie Fotakis from the Anglican Church on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association to lead Council in prayer. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of doing this. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful land upon which we live, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for those who have cared for it in the past. And Lord, we give you thanks for those who have been called to look after it and look after the people and the land itself. And we pray that your spirit will guide this meeting. Guide those who are here as elected members of council to make the best decisions for the people and for the land itself. So, Lord, we commit ourselves and our time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend. Disclosures of interest.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have one from Keith Williams. It's a non-pecuniary, less significant conflict regarding Item 5.1, the notice of motion with regard to Daniel Williams, young athlete.
Thank you. Councillors, confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 11th of July.
Move.
Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Wilson. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Now go to notices of motion. The first is on page 16, item 5.1. I'll formally move that. Seconded Councillor Jenby. Any discussion? None? Thank you. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 17, item 5.2. Again, I'll formally move that. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Is there any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A question to you. Are you envisaging that the council report may also contain other locations other than the one suggested on the plans?
Absolutely. That's why I called for a report, because it's actually going back through the old records. It's unclear as to the council did not support the staff recommendation at the time, but it's unclear as to the reasons. I couldn't find. And back in 2018, when this was considered, there was initially a request from a member of the public who's again contacted council, and that was essentially about there being an appropriate place for plaques or some form of remembrance, because there's no cemetery at Scott's Head. At the same time, there was a request for a war memorial or a suitable place to recognise servicemen and women. And initially, when the first report came to council, from what I can work out, the council was unaware that the Scotshead Community Group at the time had actually themselves engaged Rupert Holmes Mill, and that should be one of the attachments. Yes, it's one of the attachments. They did a design that was then presented. So at the first report, it was deferred so that all of the community feedback and ideas could be considered. And then there was a December 2018, from memory, report with a recommendation from staff, but it wasn't supported by the elected council. So it occurred to me that there may well have been reasons, or that the staff are aware of, which is why I've worded the motion the way that I have, that we'll receive a report, and that will be the opportunity for any issues that the staff discovered last time trying to do this. And I did receive an email today, I think it was, from a member of the public from Scotshead who believed that one of the reasons that the wall couldn't be constructed was at the time there were issues with the road. So there may be an engineering reason that it didn't go ahead. But anyway, the report is an opportunity for the staff to advise us as to what steps are necessary to completely revisit the thing. And obviously, there's still an active Scotshead community group, but probably a lot of new people. They may want to relook at it, and I expect that it should involve a degree of community consultation across Scotshead as well. So this is putting it back on the table, and at this point, just a starting point. And obviously, it's got to be a suitable location, both in terms of the appropriateness of the site, but also from a geotechnical or engineering point of view as well, which, in answer to your question about potential locations,
it might be more than geotechnical, it might be cultural reasons.
Or any of those, that's what I mean. My expectation is the staff will provide us with some guidance, and they may say that, you know, there's two or three locations that are suitable, and assume that if that were the case, we would then look to the community for guidance as to which one was their preference. It's also possible.
We think there's a need there, but just whether it's the location.
Well, that's why I didn't word the notice of motion that we go ahead and build a memorial wall, because I think there's some homework that needs to be done first.
And some responses, more responses from the community.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's possible the report might come back and tell us that none of the proposed locations are suitable. Well, that's our opportunity then to go from there. So it's just a starting point.
Yeah.
Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors, we now go to our public forum, and we have two speakers tonight, and the first is Mr. Pete Rundle. And Mr. Rundle is addressing council regarding the intersection of Ginnigo Way and Link Road at Nambucca Heads. Welcome, Mr. Rundle. And I believe he has a PowerPoint. You have a presentation? And do we need Mr. Rundle to flag to our minute secretary when he wants to change slides?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, councillors, council staff, members of the public. Just one little thing I'll say. Before they went up, he actually said something about misleading representation or something in the title, and I've got nothing misleading I want to say. In the printed copy I have here, was it handed out there? It doesn't say that, so the one that was broadcast on the screen just now said misleading presentation, so there's nothing misleading about it.
Well,
what I want to just talk to you today about is the intersection of Ginnigo Way and Link Road. Now, I was actually in the council meeting 4 weeks ago when the discussion about Valley Beach Road was talked about and these different rule numbers. I want to just stress that that was just the impetus for me coming here today, and it's a completely different issue. So there's not really any linkage with that. So turn that one out. I recognise the Ginnigo Way is, of course, a state road, and therefore anything the council wants to do with it has to be cleared by them. But what I want to do is to say that I want to look at the application of common sense to this junction, because it doesn't meet today's traffic needs, And also, I believe there's possible safety issues there as well. And yes, safety is the number one issue, you always hear that, but I firmly believe that if you take a common sense approach, you'll solve the safety issues at the same time. So if I move on to the next one, please, Rochelle. So if we look at it as a simple T intersection like that, and you put some points of the compass on it, north, south and east, Link Road goes out to the east. I know it's not accurate in that, but there's basically three traffic flows through there. There's the stuff which is going north, south, just straight down Guinegay Way. There's stuff which is turning in and out of Link Road from the north, and so the northeast flow, and then there's the remaining flow, which is the southeast flow, which is coming up from the plaza, turning right or turning left, going back the other way. Now, obviously, before the highway was upgraded, however many years ago that was, most of the traffic was going straight past. It was the main road between Sydney and Brisbane. Most of the traffic had no remote interest at all in Nambucca Heads, unfortunately. So I would say maybe 95% of the traffic was going straight through, and there's only probably 5% of the stuff was turning in and out of Link Way. So what's actually happening now, though, of course, most of the traffic is now on the highway. So the only people using this junction now are people who've got some sort of vested interest in Nambucca Heads. And I would put a guesstimate on it that maybe only about 10% is going straight past it, and probably 85% of it is actually coming in from the north and coming into Link Road or going back out the other way. And there's a tiny, small amount which is coming up from the plaza area if you want to turn right into the junction. So what I'm basically saying is the road layout no longer meets the traffic flow. So the common sense thing would be to say that just change it so it does. So if we just move on to the next slide, please, Rochelle. The impact of the Pacific Highway has been actually two separate things. There's the first thing I've just said is that there's not that much traffic now going straight through. But the other thing is, so that has actually reduced significantly, but the other thing which possibly isn't taken into account is the fact that there's now a lot more traffic coming from the north and turning left into Link Road and vice versa. And that's all happened because there's no like South Nambucca Heads exit. So all the traffic that's coming up from all the places south to come into wonderful Nambucca Heads now has to come up to the interchange, come back on itself, and then turns left into there. And then even counts, even the traffic department there, look, they've got a sign there, they blanked out the top bit, there's nothing interesting to go straight on, so they really want you to turn left, you know. So, yeah, all the stuff that used to go up around Riverside Drive before now obviously comes up, apart from local traffic, yeah, people from Maxwell, people from either the plaza area and so on. So the second that interest then is basically safety. If we move on, please. It's not actually, Guinegay Way is not actually a straight line. If you actually closely look at it, and I try to capture it on that thing from live traffic, it's actually on a slight curve, and the junction comes in on the inside of a curve. It's a bit like a bow of an arrow, if you like. The other thing is, Link Road itself doesn't join at exactly 90 degrees. So if you ever go out there, and you want to, say, turn right, to go north, then it's really you've got to look back on yourself, and you'll find that your vision is always obscured by, well, if you've got a passenger there, if you've got the door pillar, and of course nowadays all cars have headrests, so you've got the headrest in the way as well. So you don't have the best line of sight now. It's nothing to do with trees or vegetation or anything like that. It's simply the angle that you're positioned at. The second thing is that when you're going towards the right, your visibility to the right is also impacted, because what seems to have happened now, they put this additional signage up, is traffic seems to be treating that as a stop sign instead of a give way sign, and they seem to be sitting there waiting for anything sitting in the middle of the road. And to quote Madam Mayor from 4 weeks ago, you've got a Mexican standoff. So that means that you've got traffic backed up, and you lose your line of sight for any traffic which wants to come straight through. And it's there are near misses there. I haven't experienced one myself, and my wife has experienced one, and other people as well. So I don't want to just come with a problem. I want to offer a solution. There's several solutions. As far as I'm concerned, the best solution there would be a roundabout. It's, you know, there's quite a bit of spare area there. I'm no engineer, so I don't know if there's enough area. I appreciate that the land on the left-hand, on the south side there is lower, and obviously we'd need some building up. There'd be probably utilities to move. You could obviously improve the lighting in the middle of the roundabout and have all your wonderful welcome to Nambucca flagpole signs there and things like that. So that's what I was kind of put forward as a suggestion. Something's got to be done about it, though, because it's not particularly safe and it's not really fit for what the current traffic flows are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rundle. Councillors, any questions for Mr. Rundle? None?
Got flighty.
Well, Mr. Rundle, because it's a public forum, the only motion that councillors can move from a public forum is to call for a report, which probably wouldn't achieve much in that you've already covered what all of the issues are. So I will do a notice of motion to the next council meeting for consideration to request Transport for New South Wales consider construction of a roundabout, because they actually own it. But in that notice of motion, I'll be seeking comment from the staff as well in terms of safety. All of the things that you've raised to me sound quite sensible and logical. People are used to roundabouts. If they're good enough for interchanges on the Pacific Highway, they're surely good enough for that area. If we were to contemplate, if it is the best solution, then it's better to get Transport for New South Wales to pay for it and build it while they still own it and before they hand it to us and then we at a later date have to do it. But yeah, so I will do a notice of motion for the next council meeting. So if you want to come back or listen to the recordings or speak, because it'll be an agenda item, so you are entitled to speak to it. But in that, I'll also be asking for comment from the staff as to the safety, the suitability, the availability of physical area. And if they're supportive, then, and if the council are supportive, we would contact Transport for New South Wales and seek their view.
Thank you.
But unfortunately, we can't move anything tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Rundle. Our next speaker is Mr. Raymond Folk. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. But not right.
It's a difficult one, I know.
How do you pronounce it?
Falk.
Falk. Mr. Falk is speaking on behalf of the Scotts Head Community Group and has a petition for a bike and walking feasibility. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, councillors, council staff, and also the fellow members of the community who are here tonight. My name is Ray Falk. I'm a elected committee member of the Scotts Head Community Group. I'd like to acknowledge Janet Granite, who's also here tonight. She's the vice chair of the community group. I'm speaking to you tonight to provide a briefing on a community petition that calls on council to prepare a feasibility study into options for a safe bike and walking connection between Scotts Head and Maxwell. And just to clarify, I won't be formally submitting the petition tonight. We'll do that the next couple of days. We'll email through the material. So the purpose of tonight is really just to give you a bit of a context for what the proposal is about and what level of community support there is. Next slide, Rochelle. So just to set the scene a little bit to the proposal, recreational walking has for a long time had the highest participation rate of all recreational activities in New South Wales for many, many years, and cycling and bushwalking have been slowly creeping up to that as well. You can see there, cycling is the fifth highest recreational participation rate in New South Wales. The reason they're popular is because they're pretty cheap. Anyone pretty much can walk, access bike paths, access pedestrian paths, and if they're designed well, they're also accessible to people who are living with a disability, also the elderly and the very young. The physical benefits of physical outdoor activity are also very well known, and there remains a very high demand for access to those types of facilities. if you've ever been to Scott's Head, and you can go there pretty much any day of the week at the moment, and there are cars rolling around with bikes on the back. They get to Scott's Head though, there's nowhere to go. You can try your luck on Scott's Head Road if you really want to. I've done it a few times, it's not fun. Otherwise you're at a bit of a dead end. The other thing about both cycling and walking is that increasingly they're being recognised around the world in Australia as creating destinations and experiences. So there's a lot of economic benefits that goes with those types of activities, particularly in providing jobs in tourism, services, hospitality and also cultural activities. Many towns around Australia are now booming because of a cycling or walking-led recovery. It's extremely popular. Locally, we've seen proposals for the Tellawood Mountain Rail Trail in the Coffs Coast hinterland. That's in the planning stages at the moment. And further north, the Northern Rivers Rail Trail is already up and operating and is extending over the next few years. And that's been supported by four of the councils up in the northern area of New South Wales. Next slide, please. There's strong community interest to create a safe connection between Scott's Head and Maxwell. And we know that because we actually asked the community. So in the first half of this year, we put out a survey to anyone that was interested in Scott's Head, surrounding areas across the valley. We had 978 people endorse that petition for a feasibility study into creating a safe connection. And for those of you who know Scott's Head, it's pretty small. It's only got a population of about 1,000. So 978 is a pretty good turnout, and the vast majority of them were from Scott's Head and the local area. The other important thing is that a number of key businesses are very supportive, so Reflections Holidays, Club Scott's, the Maxwell Country Club and other local businesses have provided written letters of support, and that'll be part of the package that we'll provide through to Council in the next day or two. $64 million question, hopefully not that much, is can it actually be done? We think the answer is yes, there are options, and the slide's probably not the best slide for you to see. It's a little bit blurry. We did put some potential options out there to the community just to start thinking about what that could look like. One is obviously Scott's Head Road itself, which would need significant work to make it safe. And if it can happen, there are some potential options to try and cross Worrell Creek. Now, we're under no illusions. This is not going to be easy. It's going to take a long time. But that's the purpose of doing a feasibility study now, is to test out some of these options. What could the routes be? What are the tenure challenges? Where is the private land versus potentially Crown land, unformed Crown roads, easements, rights of way that could be accessed? We also know there'll be environmental risks and costs. And probably the big question is, how do you pay for it? How do you build it? And how, in the long run, do you maintain it? But that's what a feasibility study is about. It's about trying to tease out some of those questions, trying to build an understanding of whether there is actually a business case to do this or not. In terms of funding, there are government grants and programs around, particularly offered through the banner of government agency called Destination New South Wales. The really critical thing we think to note is that the adopted New South Wales visitor economy strategy actually identifies bike trails and cycling as a priority for the state. And because the state government's done that, that opens the door for funding opportunities. Now, obviously, the big question is, you get the funding to build it, how do you maintain it? Next slide, thanks, Rochelle. So why should this be a priority then? We all know council's resources are limited. There's lots of pressures on council, lots of existing priorities. But we also know, as I mentioned earlier, that there really are significant benefits to creating good cycle and pedestrian links, whether that be community health, tourism, the economic development, as I said, but also the community connections that get built by giving people the ability to move in the landscape in a way that doesn't require them getting in a car. We also know from lots of research that's been done all around the world, and again in Australia, that for every dollar you put into pedestrian and cycling facilities, you get lots of money in return across all of those issues I've mentioned. Secondly, we know there's demand, very clear demand from the community for this type of connection. The other reason is because it's a really good opportunity to leverage and build on the infrastructure the council's already put a lot of effort into over the last decade, whether that's the Nambucca to Maxwell cycleway or the really popular Jacks Ridge mountain bike track. So there is an opportunity here to stand on the shoulders of that work that's been done before, to build those connections and to really start thinking about the valley becoming a very active and high-profile recreation destination. As I said before, people will travel with their bikes to come to destinations where the facilities are good. They will come for that walking experience. They will spend their dollars in the cafes. They will stay in the accommodation. So there's no losers from this. Next one, Rochelle. Just to wrap it up very quickly, we know there are challenges. We know it's going to take a lot of time and effort. And I know Council's been through this before with the Nambucca to Maxwell cycleway. It took probably the better part of a decade, if not more. But it happened incrementally, and that can happen here as well. The key, we believe, is to actually start now, because if you never start, you never get to the end. And a feasibility study is really the critical first port of call to get that going. So we're not calling on Council to build it. We're asking for that feasibility study to test out, could this actually happen? How much would it cost? Where would it go? And over what time frame? So last point is really that we ask Council to hear the views of the community on this issue and to hopefully work with us to take the next step, which is to actually get that feasibility study going. I'm happy to take any questions now.
Thank you, Mr. Foulkes. Did I get it right?
You got it.
Any questions, councillors, for Mr. Foulkes? None? Thank you, Mr. Foulkes. Could I ask the General Manager whether this presentation could be treated as a submission to our community strategic plan that we're currently trying to engage the community?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, absolutely. We can include that as part of the community submissions.
And there's a petition to come, and that will be...
Yes, we'll provide the paperwork the next couple of days.
Yeah. That'll be brought to the council.
Yeah, we'll send it through staff. The staff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
I think so. I'll wait.
Oh, you're going to stand there, yes, because you're a delegate to item 12.3. Councillors, could I have a motion to bring forward item 12.3? Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. So we now go to item 12.3, which is page 58. It's the endorsement of the new master plan for the Crown Reserve and surrounding community lands. And Mr. Foulkes is a registered speaker to that item.
Under 9.4
as well. Oh, well, I have it down here on this printed agenda as item 12.3. Delegation 12.3, Mr. Falk.
Yeah.
And item 12.3 is the master plan, and that's what Mr. Falk is speaking to.
Okay, sorry. Yes, the other one's the lease, so yep.
Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
That's all right. Thank you, Madam Mayor, again, for the opportunity to take another 5 minutes of your time. So I am speaking again as a member of the committee of the Scots Head Community Group with the support of both the Chair and the Vice-Chair of the group who's here tonight. Item 12.3 deals with a proposal to prepare a new master plan for what's known as the Scots Reserve, which is listed there as Crown Reserve 65963. And also surrounding community lands. The Scots Head Community Group supports all recommendations set out in the paper to item 12.3, and in particular we strongly support Council's proposal to work with key land management organisations such as Reflections Holidays and also the community to prepare a master plan for what's called the core visitor precinct at Scots Head. As many of the councils would recall, the Scots Head Community Group briefed the Council when it came out to Scots Head on the 11th of April earlier this year, and that briefing covered a range of issues that were of interest to the Scots Head community. Most, if not all, of those issues relate to the management of that core visitor precinct, which essentially is that area. If you know Scots Head from the surf club all the way along the beachfront, the open space behind it, right to the end of the caravan park. That area is obviously extremely popular and highly visited. Most locals go there on a daily basis, and it's where all the visitors and tourists predominantly go to when they come to Scots Head. So the community has a very strong desire to see the best outcome for that area in terms of shared access, its environmental condition and its amenity. And the master plan process outlined in the paper to item 12.3, we think gives a really excellent opportunity to consider all those issues in a very open and transparent way, and to make, hopefully, to come forward with ideas and opportunities about how the management of that area can actually be improved. Now, for those of you who have got a long memory, you might recall about 15 years ago, a similar master planning exercise was undertaken at Scott's Head, and that led to the subsequent statutory plan and management for Scott's Reserve, and then Hayden Street Reserve after that. The Scott's Reserve plan is now 10 years old, so it's well and truly due for an update and a refresh of its strategic direction, because a lot has changed in that time. We all know our coastal areas are getting under increasing pressure. There's competition for access. And at the same time, the community is very concerned at the declining condition of the visitor infrastructure and the environmental assets, particularly the dunes and the native vegetation. So developing a new master plan is a critical step towards updating those plans of management so that they really are fit for purpose for the next decade ahead. We also note that undertaking a new master plan as proposed would align with commitments in the adopted Nambucca Valley Coastal Management Program, which is adopted by Council. And because of that, that does provide an avenue to leverage joint funding for a master planning process with the New South Wales Government and Reflections Holidays. So just to conclude very quickly, the Scott's Head community is very much looking forward to working with Council, Reflections, National Parks and other stakeholders to progress the development of a new master plan. And we definitely welcome and commend the recommendations set out in item 12.3. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Councillors, any questions for Mr. Foulkes? None?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, some of us have been around long enough to remember that. I just hope that this time, it actually took 10 years to develop the master plan, so. It is now 10 years old, so. Hopefully this time, with all of the input and the work that's been done by the community group, it'll be a much quicker process in adopting a new master plan. Councillors, so item 12.3 is on page 58. It's a recommendation there. Are you moving?
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Genvey, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Is there any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors, we'll now go back. There are no questions with notice or notice for questions for close. So we go to page 18, item 9.1.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 26, is it? 9.2. Moved Councillor Buchanan. Seconded Councillor Ballingarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 28, item 9.3. Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Genvey. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
Just note the report from Transport for New South Wales. And I'm wondering about, I'll get my notes out. It said in the response to the General Manager, Mr. Spanigal, that should Council wish to target speeding within the Nambucca Valley, Council is welcome to reach out to Christine Murray via email. So I was interested in possibly changing the recommendation that we ask for speed on that crest to be measured you know, as they come towards Fowler Beach Road, you know, those two lines you get across the road that could, so we could actually have formal data on the speed of cars.
So you're talking about traffic counters on the road?
Yeah,
because
traffic.
My understanding is traffic counters can also measure not only the number of vehicles but speed.
It's a different report, though.
Sorry?
It's a different item on
that. Oh, yeah. I wondered that. I thought that to begin with, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm looking at the wrong one.
This
This is the Maxwell traffic bridge one.
Yes, my apologies.
That's all right. I had them back to front. When you said Valley Beach, I thought, okay.
Sorry, there's quite a bit of...
I'm
happy to second that.
You're still happy?
Yes,
mover and seconder.
Very happy with what Transport for New South Wales is doing with Maxwell Bridge.
So Councillor Wilson and Councillor Janvey are happy to move and second the report on the traffic bridge.
Yes.
Just want to make sure we're clear on what we've moved and seconded. So is there any discussion on this item? None? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 30, item 9.4.
Oh, that's the crown, though.
We have a mover. I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Seconded Councillor Wilson. It's open for discussion.
Well,
Councillor Janvey.
A question to the General Manager. I mean, I know this is Aden Street Reserve, but is there any impact on this on the master plan that we've just voted on not so long ago?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Janvey. No, it's not, because this is already a lease that's been agreed to and previously resolved by Council to enter into that lease. The delays have simply been with the Minister, I understand, to get to this point. So the lease contract needs to be executed. And this recommendation is resolving to execute that lease under the seal. So we will still work with reflections around management of that land and what we can and cannot do with it as part of the master plan.
Yeah, because there was sort of entryways and that sort of thing. And so just for clarification, it's, you know, 2010, 2013, 2014, a decade in the making. So, and it's a 21-year lease. That means the lease will be up in 10 years' time. Is that correct? Or is it start from the signing today?
I might refer that question to the property officer for a short answer. It'll be 2034.
So Councillor Janvey's assumption that it would expire in 10 years is correct? Yeah. I think that's what she was trying to confirm, or whether it starts 21 years from now. Okay. Any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We have a late report, item 9.5, and you should have a paper copy as well as a separate report.
Is that the supplementary?
Yeah, it's the supplementary. It's item 9.5 and...
Okay. Thank you, Ricky.
It's the administrative requirement. We need a resolution of council to affix the seal. It was omitted previously. Moved Councillor Ballengarry. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 32, item 10.1. Oh. Moved Councillor Janvey.
Second.
Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion?
Yes.
Councillor Janvey.
Just a question for Mr. Webb.
Through the General Manager,
through
please.
The General Manager to the Chief Financial Officer, please. Judo Bank, it was one of those triple B rated deposits we brought into. Is that been affected? Has it gone down even more? Like China, there was bad news on the TV on the other day about the Chinese economy and...
Yeah, I'll refer that question to the Chief Financial Officer.
The General Manager, thanks for your question, Councillor Jebby. Are you referring to the term deposits with Judo Bank?
Yeah.
I think you'll find that we've actually fixed those term deposits.
Oh, okay, so... On the yearly index.
Yeah, it shows, if I may, Madam Mayor, shows we have one left.
There is one left, so it's just a straight term deposit, so it doesn't affect the interest rates aren't affected.
Okay.
There is, we had, I think, two have since expired, and we've reinvested with other institutions, and we only have one left.
There's high penalties for leaving early on this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of the ones I just couldn't terminate.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 38, item 10.2. Moved, Councillor Jones.
Yes, move.
Second, sorry?
I'll move that too. Second.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 40, item 10.3.
Moved,
Councillor Jenby. Seconded, Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion?
I might just make...
Councillor Jenby.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, I think this is very welcome for the youthy. It helps to keep the doors open a little bit longer, and I'm appreciative that they can ask Council and that Council has responded. So, yeah, it's a good service that they run there, so...
Thank you. No other discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 43, item 10.4.
Move.
Moved, Councillor Wilson.
Take
Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 44, item 11.1. Moved, Councillor Jones. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 47, item 11.2.
Happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved, Councillor Jones.
Second.
Seconded, Councillor Wilson. Any discussion?
If I could, Madam Mayor, I'd like to thank the staff for preparing the answers. As we know, these questions were sort of coming out of community concern. We've also had I believe the gateway determination that we can start the next process, and I think the community would be interested in that. I was going to ask through the General Manager, Madam Mayor, if I could, to the Manager of Development and Environment, whether the Council could facilitate a workshop or a training session to allow community members to have some framework where they can make a submission to that process, some ability to have clarity around what the process requires, or what is appropriate, and what would be the best approach. I don't know.
Well,
if
there is a set process in legislation regarding.
Yeah,
amendments
I mean
to LEPs and
micro level of individuals actually writing a submission so that they get a.
So are you talking about a training session on how to write a submission general?
Just to give people a sort of a framework that they can maybe sit in a meeting somewhere where they could have it wouldn't have to be all that, I'm not thinking a whole day thing, it might only be an hour or a couple of hours, where the process is explained and then the community members who are there are shown this is the parameters, these are where you can vary this is where you bring in your personal experience. I mean, I just think there are people who are really concerned about this, and probably other issues as well, where they actually don't know what the council want. And I think people want to work collaboratively with the council. We've seen a journey together. People are learning a lot more, and this might be a way of sort of fast-tracking that process so that the council are helping the community in an educational sense so that we can all have a better understanding and a better outcome. I don't know if it's been done before, but... General Manager?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Jones. Look, I haven't done one myself along those lines, so I can't articulate what that workshop would look like, but I guess you need to have that level of community engagement. So short answer is yes. I might refer the question to the Manager of Development and Environment around the processes for that public consultation period.
Through the General Manager, Councillor Jones, the consultation that will be occurring will be in a future meeting, the next meeting, potential draft controls for a development control plan amendment, and then those will then be put on exhibition with the planning proposal amendment. And as part of that process, could do some sort of workshop, collaborate in terms of how that would look, and we could run that so that process didn't slow down the LEP amendment process. Yep.
Thank you. Just a thought that, because I have had people talk to me about their concern about missing the target and actually working with council about having the best outcome for everyone, I suppose.
If I may, Madam Mayor.
Yeah.
Look, we're conscious the timing is not great, given that the local government elections are just over the horizon. The Manager of Development and Environment and I have had a good, robust discussion about delaying it is not in the best interests of the community. It's taken us a long time to get to this point, so it shouldn't be derailed by the local government election process. So we'll be proceeding with that public consultation period whenever we're ready to get to at that point to do so. Good or bad, I know it's always going to get a robust amount of discussion, and we'll just manage that. And I think the idea of an educational or information type workshop is probably a good idea to kickstart that process.
It'd even be something that could be videotaped and put online or something, as sort of like a webinar or somewhere for people who couldn't make it. You know, it'd be just a resource.
Could I ask a supplementary question? I think it's a good idea. I think it's important for council to have information available to the community on the nuts and bolts of the process, which is set out in legislation when it comes to public exhibition submissions, consideration. There's a legislative process. I think you're talking about something beyond that, and part of that, I think, might be about how to make an effective submission, what are matters for consideration, and what you can spend a lot of time writing about. But I'm just a little bit concerned that council has to remain completely impartial, and so do the staff. So my question is, would that aspect of it be something that it would be more appropriate to engage a consultancy firm who are experts in that field, for them to deliver a workshop in the chamber? You know, we can use the council chambers, but to keep that arm's length, to avoid it appearing that the council is trying to influence people as to how they should make a submission or perhaps what they should say. I'm just a little conscious that it's a planning matter, a legislative matter, and transparency and impartiality are key requirements of that legislation.
No, here, Madam, if I can just butt in, because I should have mentioned that I've been approached from people who are in favour and against.
Yeah.
So people who've got concerns on both side. So I was really focusing on the process, not the content. The community will have to put their content into the framework. I mean, if we have a consultant, that I'm totally, in a way, that is probably a better outcome, because it would detract from any, I mean, the staff are busy, but also any sort of conflict or perceived conflict of interest. So that's probably
well, a better idea. For us to do it, I assume we would require some of our planning staff to do it, who are going to be the same staff who will be considering submissions. And I just have a little bit of a concern about keeping that impartiality.
I think it's a good point. And I don't know if now is the appropriate time, but we add an amendment that staff consider, or do we need to do that, or is this something we could just do operationally?
I have a further problem with this one. I didn't declare an interest in this matter because we aren't making actually a decision. Although it's generally about horticulture, as everyone's aware, because I have a blueberry farm next door, I have to declare a pecuniary interest when we're making planning decisions. So if your amendment is going to get down the path.
I'll assist, Madam Mayor. I don't think we need to change the resolution. Well, we'll certainly take on board what you've said, and I think that they're good ideas. The subject matter is significant enough where we need to some effort into ensuring that the community's has every opportunity to make a submission, and is a relatively small cost of hiring a facilitator to achieve that, then we'll go down that path.
And just as a historical note, we all remember the Ingenia issue where the community, I thought, ran a fantastic campaign, and they actually engaged professional planners and consultants to run that process. Now, we're in a different sort of field here because this is more broad scale. But, if we can take that on board, I'd be more than happy with that.
We've employed a facilitator to do the councillor candidate information sessions. We've employed a facilitator to run through the community engagement process for the community strategic plan. So it's certainly not, we're familiar with using that type of resource to get the best result.
Thank you.
So you're not moving an amendment?
No, I think that's where we've got a bit of clarity there. Yeah.
No, that's fine. Because essentially, I just want it noted that the reason I haven't declared a pecuniary interest is this is a report for noting in response to questions, and the council isn't being asked to make any decision in relation to either the blueberry industry or horticulture. But if there's an amendment that is going to change that, then I need to exit the chamber. Councillor Janvey.
Through the general manager, possibly to the manager of in development and environment, around the DCP, I assume this is where we're going to be talking about buffer zones, and if people want to put in submissions, how does that fit in with the gateway submission? How do they work? How does that
work? I'll answer the first part of your question. That's correct. The rest of it I will refer to the manager of development and environment.
Through the general manager, Councillor Genvey, the intention is to run them separately. So the LEP amendment and DCP amendment are separate documents, separate processes. So the descriptions, the controls that will be applied will be DCP matters. LEP is just whether or not council wants to amend to require development consent. So we'll keep them separately so it doesn't hold up the intended change that council at this stage is looking to make.
For people in the community, the length of size of buffers is of, it's one of the most contentious things, between neighbours, and what's going on is quite critical. So to a good outcome, or an outcome that's with less agitation in the community.
Yeah, through the general manager, DCP is the only document that's going to implement buffers.
Yep.
So it's not relevant to the LEP. The LEP is just whether or not consent's required. So
okay.
The intent is just to have that. There's obviously going to be that process is going to be more drawn out than the LEP in terms of what buffer's suitable, what controls are required.
Okay. In other words, the LEP is the statutory document that is about land uses, what is permissible without consent, permissible with consent, and what is prohibited.
This is the DA requirement.
At this point, we're looking at consent being required to what currently no consent is being required, whereas the DCP is a separate document that comes down to that lower level, that anything that is permissible with consent sets parameters or the details or the requirements that are then considered in assessing a DA. Is there any further discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 52, item 11.3.
Oh yeah, 11.3.
Moved Councillor Janvey, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
In the I'm chair of this committee, and in the minutes, we are wanting to go into the next community strategic plan net zero targets. Like full council, it's important to measure where we're at, even if we don't make it. It's important to set a target and then to see how we're going towards reducing carbon emissions. It doesn't mention, but the sustainability advantage membership also is interested in community net zero targets. I'm not quite sure what that looks like, but I'd like to see things in the staff to put in the community strategic plan, issues around sustainability. And I think there are opportunities in a circular economy, and whether we could, who knows, but a feasibility study like the cycle paths at Scott's Head, but could we recycle solar panels for the region? We don't know, but there are lots of things up for grabs if you've got vision. So that vision, I would, as chair of this committee, really like to see go into the community strategic plan.
Well, Councillor Janvey, can I suggest that as chair of the committee, what the committee should do is actually have a resolution from the committee.
This is the resolution, so.
But formally requesting that council include those
committee's
things.
Committee's been disbanded now because it's had the last meeting before council.
It's a shame they missed that opportunity, because they are an advisory committee to council. Had they put forward a recommendation that it be included in the community strategic plan, or at least the draft, that would have got it into the plan. Hopefully there would have been positive feedback from the community when it went on public exhibition, and it would have gained support of councillors.
Well, hopefully it will be in there, because it's very important and critical to the future of how we act and the future of people who live here and their children. So something council.
So is there a question in that, or?
No, but we're noting the minutes, and that's what's in the minutes.
Well, can I make a suggestion, Councillor Janvey? I think that it's within the rules, because the item on the agenda relates to the Clean Energy Committee, and it relates to clean energy. Why don't you move an amendment? The suggestion is that you move an amendment, and that it be that Council notes the minutes, that Council include targets.
Okay.
In the draft community strategic plan. You can move that as a councillor if.
Okay, all right. So, that council include net zero targets for itself and the community in the community strategic plan, and have as part of a vision for how it might find opportunities in the circular economy for itself, or for recycling. It is about vision, so I'm sorry, our community strategic plan is about vision, so I'd like council to have a vision that we take advantage of the opportunities of the circular economy.
Okay. It's so just that
whether we do or not is another thing, but to have it as a large aspirational goal would be fantastic.
Okay. I think you need to make it it's just important that resolutions of council, if this is supported, there has to be very clear direction for the staff to enact it. So point one, simple. Second sentence.
Is that council include it's, net yeah. zero targets?
Sorry,
net zero targets.
So how about, you've got point one, which
it
is
needs
no...
to set a target and then report to them. So,
okay. So one is noting the minutes.
Yep.
So do you want two to be that set. Council set
yes,
net
please.
Zero targets for itself and the community?
Yep.
And include them in the strategic plan?
Yes.
So make that number two, yep. because the third thing you're talking about is a separate matter, so make that a point three.
Yep.
That council investigate opportunities,
yep.
perhaps?
Yep.
Would that be a...
Well, that I would like that...
Sorry, what is it you want to achieve regarding looking at further opportunities?
I do want to achieve that we investigate opportunities, but I think it should be part of your goals or your vision, because this is a strategic planning document.
All
and
right.
I would like to see it as part of the vision going forward.
So how about if point three were that council develop a vision?
Yep.
Because you can't just pluck one out of the air.
No,
the council's going to have to decide what that vision is.
Opportunities.
And investigate
yep.
opportunities.
For the circular economy.
For the circular economy?
Yeah. And this would tie in with our waste strategies and stuff as well.
Yep.
It's not... Anything.
Sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm trying to make sure that we actually...
Well, it's got to go.
Madam
We've
Mayor,
got in the community strategic plan.
Council already has
plan.
A vision and a mission
yeah.
To include something in addition in the vision would require a review of the entire mission and vision.
I don't
which
think...
Which I'm happy yeah. to do after we've gone through the community strategic planning process. But it's a separate,
well, we'll just
it's
remove
a separate
yeah.
body of
vision
work.
Then and just investigate opportunities.
Yeah, I don't think Councillor Genvey was suggesting that we change the council overall vision. I think she's talking about a specific vision in relation to yeah. opportunities within a circular economy.
Absolutely.
Probably more a vision that sits in the terms of reference for the Clean Energy Committee, perhaps.
And absolutely, we can consider that as part of the community strategic plan as well.
We have investigate opportunities for the circular economy in the community strategic plan as well. I'll just repeat it. Sorry if you want really precise minutes. But
okay, so you want that...
I do want...
Hang on, I'm just... Well, we can't include opportunities when we don't know what they are. Include investigation of opportunities for the circular economy.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a strategy.
Yep. It's include. Yes. Okay. Yep. That works. Thank
Sorry,
you.
I'm not trying to be difficult. It's important that the wording actually captures what you're trying to achieve, but it actually makes something happen.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's just a statement that reads nicely, but nothing changes.
Thank you. I'm quite happy with that. Thank
happy
you.
With the wording of that. Councillor Buchanan, are you still happy
I'm
to
okay
second
that.
Second that?
Yes, thank you.
And just to look very quickly to it, if we want to be part of the sustainable advantage and get access to their high-level thinking, high-level data and whatnot, we actually have to have plans and be in this space. So there's no ifs and buts.
Well, this hopefully will get it underway.
Fingers crossed.
Right, councillors, is there any discussion on the motion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Okay, no late reports from development and environment. So page 54, item 12.1.
I'll move it.
Moved Councillor Genvey, seconded Councillor Jones. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 58, item 12.2.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Buchanan. And councillors, did you all see the additional information that was emailed this afternoon. I don't know what I did with it. I did print it off. We pushed it along the table. Mr. Noble sent some additional information. It's not going to change the recommendation or whatever, but it's some background information. Councillor Janvey.
Look, I support the recommendation. I've been down there and it's just full of campers coming up the whole time. It's just a rich environment for them coming up on the bank there. And if we keep the stumps, I'm happy that it holds the bank and that sort of thing. But where I struggle is burning of the tree heads and debris on site. Could we not chip them? Like, people have asthma. It's a no burning town, you know. is it a massive expense to chip?
Is that a question for the general manager?
Yes, so I'm thinking aloud here. But for the general manager, would it be change the budget of this dramatically to send our green guys in and chip the heads?
Yes, that's why the proposal is to burn the heads. We simply don't have the budget to chip all the remaining.
A further supplementary question, the burning would have to be done within the existing regulations relating to burning in close proximity. In other words, it couldn't be done on a windy day within certain hours, etc.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Could I ask
Jones.
Along that line, is there any opportunity to just leave them there and let them just slowly decay and rot down back into the
feed?
My understanding is, given the classification of the weed, you can't leave that. You have to dispose of them.
And if they have berries or seeds on them, because the other thing is leaving them there close to the bank, Murphy's Law will get a flood straight after it and we'll have some issues with the debris being washed down in the river. Any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. So we've done item 12.3, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting? Moved Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Have there been any public submissions regarding entering into closed?
No, Madam Mayor, they have not.
Thank you. Those in favour? No. Councillors, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Thank you. We'll now go into closed meeting to consider item 13.1 on page 2 and go from there. Councillors will now resume in open meeting and I'll ask the General Manager to read the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In the closed meeting of Council, item 13.1, Council resolved with the move of Councillors Buchanan and seconded by Councillor Jones that Council notes the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. Item 13.2, with the mover of Mayor Hoban and seconded by Councillor Jones, that Council defer item 13.2. And item 13.3, the transfer of land required for road realignment and Rodeo Drive, Barrowville, resolved on the move of Councillor Jones and seconded Councillor Wilson, that Council 1 agrees to transfer folio identifier 3/1282241 to Gillian Elizabeth Dorian upon Mrs. Dorian's execution of the deed of release by executor and sole beneficiary. Item 2 executes the transfer of land document and the deed of release by executor and sole beneficiary document pursuant to section 377(1)(H) of the Local Government Act 1993 under Council seal, signed by the Mayor and the General Manager. Item 13.4, glass of water.
Item 13.4, resolved mover Councillor Buchanan, seconded Councillor Janvey, that Council awards tender T352324MNC for the supply of ready-mix concrete as panel source tender for the period of 1 January 2024 to 31 December 2025. Delegates to the General Manager to sign a 12-month extension to T352324MNC based on satisfactory supplier performance, which will take this contract through to 31 December 2026, and that Council updates the contract register.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
There being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their courtesy, their patience and their attendance and close the meeting.